The world is generating 2.5 quintillion bites every day, and that number is only increasing. One aspect is harvesting the data for enterprises to drive efficiencies, improve customer experiences, and create new revenue streams. Endless possibilities there. But the other aspect which is gaining traction, which is what we're going to be discussing today, is the use of data analytics to solve real-world problems. Governments have taken the lead to establish programs to conduct research and development in the field of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and data analytics, which can actually impact human society and lives to drive a digital economy. In today's episode of Tech at Work, we are going to be discussing data analytics, the impact on enterprises and societies. We're in conversation with Satish Eth, CEO of Infosys. This is Tech at Work, and I am Reema Tendulkar from CNBC TV 18. Satish has been with Infosys for the last 24 years. In the last 4 years, he has been leading the data analytics division for the IT company. Satish, thanks so much for joining in. If you could just start off by telling us, what is the big picture that you see for data analytics at Infosys?
Yeah. Thank you, Reema, for this opportunity to discuss this. We see this as a three-horizon opportunity. The horizon one, as we see it, was how data was being used traditionally to make better decisions, and so that enterprises can be data-driven enterprises. And as per research reports, an enterprise can typically get 5 to 6% of increased productivity or throughput with the leverage of data. And this is how data has been used traditionally within the enterprises over the years to derive economic value. But that said, we are now in the midst of a horizon two, where we are at the convergence of the data and digital transformations happening simultaneously. And this is creating new opportunities for enterprises. And as we look ahead, more and more, the confluence of additional technologies will actually enable a third horizon. So far, Horizon 2 was powered by big data, cloud, IoT to some extent, and early adoption of AI. So as we look ahead, it is the confluence of not only abundant bandwidth and storage, it's also about abundant networking that will be powered by 5G and full-scale adoption of AI and blockchain and the early adoption of quantum computing. All of this is actually going to pave the way for a Horizon 3, where a digital economy is going to transition into a data economy, where there not only it's just enterprise transformation, it is also going to transform societies at large and economies at large. And as per some of the recent research reports, just AI adoption over the next 10 to 12 years will take the current 80 trillion world economy up by about 16%, which is about 1.2% growth in GDP every year, just by adoption of AI. On top of that, if we leverage the data that is out there, almost 90% of data that has been generated in the world has been generated in the last 2 years, and we are deluged with data. Just by leveraging this data and exchanging data and collaborating with data across enterprises, across industries, across the globe, we can actually create 4% additional GDP growth over next 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely. So Horizon 1, just to quickly recap, is using data the traditional way to drive efficiencies. Horizon 2 is digitally transforming the companies to disrupt their industry. And Horizon 3 is actually using additional technologies like 5G, blockchain, quantum computing to convert an economy into a digital economy, which can actually impact the society. So let's talk about this Horizon 3 as you see it, and India in particular. Now, India has been implementing, say, GST, Aadhaar, all part of going digital. Now in the budget, you also heard Piyush Goyal announce that they will be setting up a new national program which will focus on artificial intelligence. What exactly is India doing in its transformation to become a digital economy, and how would it compare with the developed economies like US and China?
Yeah. So Niti Aayog actually rolled out a white paper on this and a policy last year around June 2018. And the opportunity ahead of us is, see, today we are about a 2.6 trillion economy. We can add another trillion to that economy just by the influence of AI. That is about 35 to 40% growth just by the influence of AI. So the opportunity is huge. That is one. Second, and how does it compare, to answer your other question? Developed countries, the ones which are really advanced in adoption and harnessing this, like China, North America, and Europe, I think they estimate that they can get an additional 20 to 25% uptick in their economy through AI, while developing countries will be between 5 to 15%. And India will be one of those outliers. So the opportunity is huge. The early adopters will gain. And the ones who create all these foundational investments in their economy will do better. And I think there will be greater differentiation in economic performance in next decade or so. So that is why I think globally, most countries have woken up to this reality that this is now a national agenda. There are many foundation elements to this. So it's not just about policy. It's not just about regulation. For example, when it comes to data, privacy, and also creating data, value, there are two ends of the spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, you're trying to protect privacy, which is trying to make it more closed. On the other end of the spectrum, you're trying to make it more open, where you create economic value out of data without compromising privacy. So it's a fine line, and governments will play a very important role in that journey. One of the early adopters of this, for example, UK has, there is this concept of open data. UK has 45,000 data sets, which is already creating economic value and driving data economy in their world. Whereas in India, though we're a little behind in terms of adoption, but we already have about 700 data sets.
Can you talk a little bit more about these data sets? You said India's created about 700 data sets vis-a-vis UK, which has created 45,000 data sets. What exactly are these?
So let me take this example. So if you have transport data and you open up that transport data for innovation, that's what London did. So there are a lot of citizen services that has been developed on the top of this data. Another example from UK that I can share is in UK, they've enabled data sharing amongst utility companies on the customers. So what it means is, today to play in a utility space, you don't need to be a energy producer and an energy distributor to service the customer. Because there is an open platform of data about consumers, a new digital player can enter this business without any investment or with very little investment. And buy power of the grid and then service the consumers and then actually differentiate their offering by the power of the offering that they provide and the economic value they provide. So that can actually disrupt a lot of energy behemoths who have been in this industry, and it's a very capital intensive industry. So this has purely been made possible by the ability to create an open data platform. In UK now, they're going to bring down the price of energy down so that they put the purchasing power back in the hand of the consumer, and that will enhance their own economy.
Also, I want to go back to that earlier point about, national agenda and how India can actually add $1 trillion to its economy purely on the back of leveraging artificial intelligence. How exactly can India achieve that 30-35% improvement in its GDP on the back of these technologies?
Yeah, so it will be through a series of foundations, and which the government is already doing. As I said, on one side, India is also coming up with privacy laws. Just like world over, you have GDPR in Europe, Australia passed one, California passed one. So India is also shortly going to release a privacy law, which will protect the privacy and integrity of the data. So that is one part to it. The other part is with the development of platforms like Aadhaar and digital payments and GST, it is opening up a lot of innovation around these platforms or services for citizen or for enterprises to come and serve the customers. So that is another foundation that will help. Third is, I already spoke about how do you create open data sets so that you can drive data-driven innovation.
And if you could just tell us, what is the kind of innovation India is doing with the 700 data sets which are currently already available?
It will be similar to some of the examples that I already shared.
But have you already started with any kind of innovation?
Because there are open data sets around. Not necessarily. The data sets are still new. You will see a lot more evolution in the years to come.
Also, if I compare India's digital transformation vis-a-vis that of US and China, India still significantly lags behind these two AI superpowers. What is holding India back? What are the challenges that we face?
It's just that early investment. They were early starters. So there are two parts to this. You know, one is, you have to be an original innovator or you have to be a fast adopter. You know, I feel China has made that leap where they're not only fast adopters, they're also original innovators in many of this space. And US has always been an original innovator and also a quick adopter. So that is no surprise. And UK and European Union has made substantial policy-driven investments because of which they are enabling this. India will be a fast adopter, and then India is also becoming a hotbed of innovation. Now if you think of startups globally, it's not just California, it's not just Berlin. Bangalore, is one of the top destinations.
But we're also facing challenges, right? Like optic fiber, for instance, is a big hindrance for the adoption of 5G technology, which is one of the new technologies India has to adopt to be a part of this Horizon 3 transformation. So there are challenges that India is facing.
But I think we can overcome them because, like, even if you miss the first wave, you can always hit the next wave. So if we start adopting 5G very quickly, the kind of innovation that is possible is going to supersede what we missed in the previous wave.
And as a company, as an IT services company, are you seeing increasingly greater demand coming in from governments and NGOs?
Absolutely. You know, it's a great question. See, today, like as I said, Horizon 1, 2, 3, largely our customers were enterprises and consumer-driven demand coming through enterprises. More and more, we are now doing projects which are powered by the government or the economy or powered by NGOs. I'll give you an example to state this. There is an NGO that we work with which is backed by one of the well-known global foundations and UN. They were doing a project in Africa in one of the countries where they wanted to see how can they enhance access to healthcare. 45% of the population in that country had to walk a minimum 5 kilometers to access a primary healthcare unit in that country. So we used the telecom data that was made available to us to optimize how do we distribute the 900 additional healthcare offices that they are hospitals or care units that they wanted to deploy in that country, so that they bring down the distance that somebody had to go to access it. Not only that, that country also had unique migration patterns of population in monsoon for work versus summer. Based on that, we are also using this data in the next wave on how to stop communicable diseases. You know, you've got all kinds of exotic fevers in Africa. Now we're using this data to, the telecom data is being used to prevent some of these communicable diseases from spreading rapidly because we have real-time access to migratory patterns of people. As we see it, increasingly the demand is not going to be just enterprises, it will also be the other stakeholders in our society.
Yes, digital has become a central part of all governments' agenda and policies in the last few years, and it will be going ahead as well. Let me come back to now the enterprises. So Horizon One is largely done. You know, companies have managed to use their data, use it well, harvest it well in order to drive efficiencies and improve their revenues. On Horizon 2, which is the big digital transformation right at the core, not just at the front end, which is currently taking place, you've conducted a survey at an enterprise level where you've surveyed more than 1,000 senior executives from organizations with an annual revenue exceeding $1 billion. Walk us through the key takeaways of that survey.
So we're living in a world of data deluge. Though enterprises said they're fairly good and well-served in Horizon One area, where they're largely data-driven and they're creating economic value out of it to create better decisions, they still felt they don't use it in an institutionalized manner. They don't use all the data that is within enterprise. So the first thing that they said in the survey is, while we use data, we're good at it, we still need to institutionalize this. We are good at using this in sales, marketing, finance, and operations, but there are opportunities now to expand this to other areas. Like we have not done enough in R&D, we have not done enough in supply chain or procurement. So on Horizon 2, the opportunity is all about how do you create, Horizon 2 and 3 both, how do you create better experiences, how do you create new revenue models, how do you mitigate your risk? Today, we are not able to anticipate risks that are going to hit us. It's not just a structural risk. Risk can come from any dimension. It can come from your competitor. For example, a collaborator can become your competitor. You can get a competition or a displacement from some other industry that you're not related to. For example, Amazon is getting into healthcare. Apple or Google could get into automobile industry. So risks are coming from unknown territories or dimensions. Apart from experience and retaining the customer's attention and mind share and driving more economic value with them, predicting risks and mitigating risks has become a very big need for enterprises. That was stated in the survey. And lastly, of course, new business models are emerging out of their possibilities of becoming digital native and data native with Horizon 2 and Horizon 3 possibilities. So there is a lot of focus towards it. Most enterprises said, we all realize that data and analytics now is core to our business strategy and how we evolve as a business. They are well served in that journey, but the challenge they have is on execution. And why is it a challenge in execution? It is because there is more and more data. They're not even using available data within the enterprise. Now they have more possibilities in their value chain, in their network, across industries, for collaboration, or looking at data sets from another industry which they've never looked at. For example, in the banking industry now, for certain segments of loans that they give, they're looking at mobile recharge data coming from telecoms companies to see whether the individual has the ability to repay those loans. So one challenge is, so how do you bring data sets together? The other challenge is, how do you bring different technologies? There are so many new technologies. There is innovation happening every day. How do you bring all of this together? How do you get the best of all of this together? Third is, we have so much of data. One single biggest challenge that everybody is facing is, how do we create population scale data platforms, either to ingest information or to consume information? So that is a big challenge that everybody is facing. And lastly, skills. Skills is one of the biggest challenge that this industry is facing. Beyond this, looking ahead, the survey also highlighted that it is not just one technology that will power the future. It is that power of the confluence of multiple technologies, which I spoke earlier, which is, not only storage, compute, cloud, digital, mobility, it's also about blockchain, it's also about 5G, it's also about quantum computing, AI, all of this coming together, which is powering the next wave of innovation. So the survey clearly said we are good in strategy, we are good in using data in pockets, but we want to institutionalize it. We have challenges, we need help with these challenges. And then they clearly see the future and they want partners who work with them to come and help them. So that is in a nutshell the summary of the survey.
Satish, thank you very much for speaking with Tech at Work. So data is now not only central to enterprises, but also to the countries. The adoption of AI can increase the world economy by 16% in the next 5 years. It can add about $1 trillion to India's economy. That we are talking about is a 35 to 40% growth in the coming few years. So now data and analytics has become a national agenda. That is the big takeaway coming in from this conversation with Infosys. With that, it's curtains down on this episode of Tech at Work. I am Reema Tendulkar. We'll be back with another episode. And do remember to subscribe to our podcast, Tech at Work. You can consume it at Apple, Google, Spotify, Radiohead, Audio Boom, and all the other places where podcasts are consumed. Send us your feedback at Reema Tendulkar.